This episode of TMS is brought to you by the Bissell Bark Bath. The Bissell Bark Bath allows you to bathe your dog with virtually no mess. It's my dog, Brian's dog, and your dog. Using less than 48 ounces of water, visit Bissell.com/TMS and learn more. And when you use the coupon code TMS, you'll receive 2 bottles of free, no-rent shampoo with your order. This coupon code is good for a limited time only. Go to Bissell.com/TMS and use that code TMS. Coming up on TMS, you didn't throw away your shot.
Turns out I'm actually a leg man.
Don't use a severed leg for a pillow.
Russell Crowe is clearing it all out.
Costco has you covered for end times.
This guy doth protest way too much.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This picture is on dating, the etiquette of dating. We are going to follow some of these students as they go on a date and see if their manners have anything to do with their fun.
So you just listen and compare, and you'll shop Jollips and save money.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Garblurgablurg.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Monday, March 12th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson. Happy first Monday after daylight savings time, huh?
I don't like daylight savings very much. I'm still feeling it. Like, yesterday was a kind of a shit show. I just felt like I was always behind.
Yeah.
And it would suddenly be 9 o'clock, and I'm like, wait, it's supposed to be 8 o'clock. Like, what is this about? What is this nightmare we're in? Every year, we do it to ourselves. Now, the fall back, I don't mind so much. The spring forward, F that.
Yeah, I say get rid of all of it. But here's the dumb thing. And our Florida people can chime in on this. Florida correctly wants to say, hey, we don't want daylight savings time anymore.
Yeah.
But incorrectly, they say we want to be an hour ahead of Eastern time.
Yeah. What are they thinking there? That's a bad idea.
I don't know. It's like, you know, no.
Yeah.
You can't secede from the time union of the Eastern time zone.
I'm not into that. I don't think that's a way to just deal with it. But, Arizona's got it right. Just stick with the time.
Arizona's got it right, exactly.
Stay wherever you're at. It hasn't bothered them. The only problem with them is now people I do stuff with in Arizona, it jacks my schedule up, right? Because now they have.
And it totally jacks their schedule up because for them, nothing changes. They just have to now adjust to everybody else. And
what's the point? Why are we doing this? You know what? Instead of going after video games, go after daylight savings. Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know what? I like that. That's what's hurting the country.
I'm not saying daylight savings is creating mass shootings. I'm not saying that. But I am saying
prove
it's stupid.
It's not. Prove that it's not, Scott.
Prove it you can't. That's exactly right.
We have daylight savings every year, and we have mass school shootings every year. Correlation?
Flat Earth. Everything's flat. Anyway, so real quick before we jump in here.
Yes.
My wife did a thing in cahoots with my brother-in-law, Steve.
Okay.
They had a little bit of a cahoot going on. Now, before all of you go, scandal, not that kind of cahoots. Okay. All right. No, that's not even.
I don't think that would be on the show.
Yeah. I wouldn't be bringing that up probably.
Right.
However, I don't know where he got these. Somebody threw a work contact or something, but you know, those balut eggs or whatever they're called, the duck eggs that are like a fully formed duck.
It's the things that they make. They've made people eat them like twice on Survivor. In 36 seasons of Survivor, they've actually made people eat those twice. And it's still one of the most horrible things I've ever seen on that show.
That's how you know it's a bad thing, when it's only happened 2 times on a show that revels in the fact that you got
Fear Factor.
Balut eggs. It's like a fully formed little baby duck, but not quite fully formed. Obviously, it was fully formed to be out quacking and swimming in the lake. But a embryo of a duck that got far enough to look like a little duck in there, but still kind of liquidy duck, you know, the beak is liquidy and stuff like that. So
undercooked duck.
Yeah. And apparently in big swaths of the world, this is a delicacy, a thing that people look forward to, and it's a rare treat, okay?
Yeah.
For us, it sounds like a holy nightmare. And somehow, through some contact, he was able to procure said egg, a single egg, a duck, one of these duck eggs. If there would have been two, I'd have one freaking FedEx to you right this freaking second.
Cause we would do it on the show.
Yeah, because I don't want to do this alone. But what they're making me do, I don't know why I'm even agreeing to this, but they're making me eat it on the show tomorrow.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. So sad you only have one.
It's not fair. I feel like you should have to have all the thickened liquid you have left over while I eat my duck. That's
you know what? I do still have some Japanese thickened liquid.
I think that's the thing.
If that makes you feel better, I'll have some thickened liquid. I'm just, you know what? Hey, whatever. Thickened liquid, bring it on. I'm so glad it's not a duck embryo.
Yeah, and it's gonna. And the duck embryo is literally thickened liquid, but the thickening is like bits of feather and beak and all that. So. Kim, so one of the worries I had was like, well, I don't want something, you know, some freaking salmonella bomb or whatever these things are made of. I don't want to die. So Kim's like, no, you get them in a refrigerated form, which is what he got it in. And then you have to cook it a certain way. And so she read up on all that and then did that already. So it's now in the fridge in its form that I'm supposed to eat it. It's not supposed to eat it warm. It's supposed to eat it cold. Ugh, it's even worse. Eat it cold.
Like a hard-boiled egg.
Kind of, except it's not hard. It's just like a booger. It's a big booger-covered duck baby in there.
Oh,
and
man.
So I don't know how far I'm going to make it into it. I don't know how bad this is going to go, but that's the agreement, and I said I'd do it. So tomorrow.
I'm not lying when I say this. I don't think I could do it. You're a braver man than me.
I'm not sure.
But I think if someone were to send one of those to each of us,
yeah.
I would say, nope, I'm out. Nope.
I mean, I'm an inch behind you. The problem is, I'm not sure I'll be able to open it, look at it, and then continue. You know what I mean?
I know. You better not look at it.
And if I barf on air, it'll be a first for the show.
it'll be a first for the show, but it'll also break your record.
Yeah, it probably will. Now, those at home are thinking, well, have you ever had anything like this? The closest I ever came to any of this was I ate a chicken head and chicken legs, or feet, I should say. Chicken legs sounds good. Oh, yeah, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, some chicken legs.
I mean, a drumstick is a chicken leg, sure.
Yeah, not that. We're talking about the feet, like the little skinny...
The little knobby orange... Talon.
Yes, yes. And it was like eating jerky, and it was horrific. It was when I was in China, and I swore I'd never do anything close to that again, but yet here we are, another thing. Yes, TVZ gone, Coverdell puked off screen once, but that's as far as the show's gotten into the vomit. Anyway, tomorrow we'll tell. I don't know, man. I'm terrified, but we'll do it together. I mean, you'll be my, you can be my comfort there over there.
I think you do this, Scott, and there is nothing in Vegas you can't do.
Oh, man.
This is like, you know, anything that I say, hey, Scott, you know we should do this? You'd be like, well, it's better than eating that damn balut.
That's a good point. I'll have a new reference point for everything that's exactly. Not as bad as this. Yeah, that's a good point.
New TMS t-shirts, better than balut.
That's right. Hey, Scott, you need to spend 6 months in a a prison full of rapists. Oh, okay, it's better than Balut. Better than Balut. Anyway, hey, you went and saw Hamilton, and I'm jealous. We forgot to talk about it on Friday, but you totally went Thursday or something.
Friday, I went Friday night, so we couldn't really talk about it on Friday
night. Oh, I thought you went Thursday night for some reason.
No, we went Friday night. So, listener Peter is a member of the cast of one of the traveling productions of Hamilton. There are actually two, at least two, maybe there's more, but... There's a couple different traveling productions of Hamilton. Now, this is, and it's the hot ticket. You know, the Lin-Manuel Miranda deal. He's no longer acting in it, but he played Hamilton in the Broadway production. But now they've got two traveling productions. One of them came to Colorado, and Peter, a listener of the show, plays King George III.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's everyone's favorite character here, even though we haven't seen it, but we love the soundtrack.
Absolutely everyone's favorite character. Like he steals the show. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you watch the thing, you're like, oh my God, come back. Be like two-thirds of this thing.
Yeah, he's really, really smarmy and good. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah. So sarcastic and just dry and everything. That's and cool. He does Peter did an amazing job. Vocally, like before I knew that he had done Rent in the past, I said, oh man, he's probably played Roger in Rent, like done the had the role of Roger, and he has, and again, vocal wise, just nailed it.
In the Hamilton productions, is the King, oh, King George always played by a white dude? Do you know? I think it is.
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, I think
it
is.
It's a 90% or 99% non-white cast.
Yeah.
And I think he must be the highest lead character.
Sure.
Highest lead white character.
I love that. I freaking love it. Yeah. It's perfect to make that guy the white guy. Anyway.
It kind of is. Yeah. Anyway, so the show is fantastic. He didn't get don't worry, people. He didn't get me seats. He just made it gave me the ability to get seats to a sold out show.
Possible available seats, but they were still right. I mean, I'm not going to say it on the air, but they were pricey, dude.
They were pricey.
Yeah.
Worth every penny. We met up with him after the show. He took us backstage. We saw costumes, we saw changing areas, we saw the mechanics of like making that set come to life. Team and I have a picture of ourselves on the set. Got a picture with Peter on the set and took a picture of looking out over the Buell Theater, you know, 1,000 whatever seat theater. It's like, okay, yeah.
That's intense.
If I ever need to jumpstart my heart, that's the view. that's the view from there. But anyway, yeah, really, really good show. And if you get a chance to see it while it's traveling, then
there's an SLC production of this thing that's been going on that has been completely, utterly, and entirely sold out. And they, in fact, you checked to see if there was any connection. Sadly, there wasn't. But
there isn't.
I hope to be able to see this at some point because it's the real deal. That thing, that's a genuine piece of work. That Hamilton deal.
Totally. And it's funny that the Denver-based and the Salt Lake City-based Hamilton productions or the tours that come through each of our cities aren't part of the same tour. It's silly.
Yeah, you know? It is silly. We're right next to each other. What's the problem?
Right. You think like, all right, if we're going to do this, we're going to divide the country in half and have one production do this half and then the other production do that half. And his production's doing like Houston, Atlanta, Washington, D.C. Oh, man. To do Hamilton in Washington, D.C. would be... amazing.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be great. Sure, why not? Maybe they don't like going over the Rockies. Maybe that's a problem somehow. It's like
maybe that's it. That's kind of the big wall.
These mountains, they're terrible. When the pioneers were here, they killed thousands. We don't need this. And they said, "Do it." Someone on the West Coast, do it. So I have to deal with some California bullshit. Well, you get some rad East Coaster business. But anyway, that's great.
Well,
and
chance to see it because it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I want
to
see it. And like, if you're to get like right down on the front row there, what are people paying for those? Do you know? It's like thousands of dollars, geez. Probably.
Well, I mean, if you're buying them aftermarket from somebody who has bought tickets and isn't using them or bought extra tickets, you're probably paying upwards of $1,000 a seat.
Jeez.
Face value, you know, is going to be in the... mid hundreds, $100 to $200 per seat for kind of the middle of the orchestra area.
Yeah.
And then it gets cheaper as you go up into the balcony. But people apparently are like, when we were there picking up tickets, there was somebody who was buying tickets. There were apparently were still tickets available because people all of a sudden say, oh, I can't make it. And if you just show up there, it's kind of like a roll of the dice. You might be able to score something. But.
Yeah. Did you ever, the old dad joke, how much did Alexander Hamilton weigh? Do you know?
10 pounds?
No.
No, I guess that wouldn't be a good joke. It'd be $10. I don't know. How much did he weigh?
A Hamilton. That's a joke I actually was told by somebody who thought it was funny, and I couldn't even give him a courtesy laugh.
I know, yeah.
It was rough, really rough. Well, anyway,
so
there you go.
Our Friday night was pretty good. Seeing that, we went out to dinner beforehand. Tina and I, a little date night, went out and saw Hamilton. The next day, you know, we recorded a film sec in the morning talking about the whole nine yards. And then afterwards, Tina and I went out to that chiropractor that I went out to that last time before Orlando to kind of work on my neck a little bit. And as we're coming back to the car in the parking lot, we're stepping over this median that's got these big rocks in them, big rocks in the median. And Tina carefully steps over the rocks to get to the car. And as she puts her foot down on the pavement, there's another rock there that she doesn't see. And she takes a dive.
I saw this on Facebook, but I didn't realize it was the same night.
No, no, the next day.
The next
Saturday. Saturday afternoon after film set.
Not that it matters at all. Like, it doesn't matter when this happened.
Well, it would have mattered big time because we did a lot of walking Friday night with Peter to try and find a bar after the show to get a drink. But,
good point. Yeah.
But no, this...
this makes my foot hurt.
Oh, yeah, she broke her fifth metatarsal.
Whoa.
And, like, just knew right from the get-go that it was like, okay, no, this is bad. We need to go to urgent care. This is not something I can just kind of take it easy, you know, and just put my leg up for a little while. She knew right off the bat that it was bad, so sure enough, went to urgent care.
Like a full-on break or like a...
Full-on break. Fractured her fifth metatarsal. So this afternoon, she's going to a specialist to do some x-rays and take a look and see what they need to do, if it's surgery, if it's a cast or whatever. But my God, poor Tina, right? Like, give me, you know, obviously, last year, far worse.
Sure, sure. This is just, but yeah, you know what? I think that should afford her... Here's my thinking. You get some form of cancer. You go through all the treatments.
Yes.
You kick its ass, and on the other side, you're shown as cancer-free. I think you should get a five-year buffer on anything else happening.
Totally. You need a pass. You should get a pass for all that stuff.
I don't care what it is. You shouldn't be able to cut your finger making a dinner. You shouldn't be able to trip on something in the house. There should be no Legos laying around at night when you get up and pee. Like,
I agree.
All of that should be cleared. That freaking sucks.
You paid your dues. Exactly. Well, poor Tina. So now I'm back in caregiver mode where I'm like, you know, making dinner and juggling this and taking care of that and doing all that stuff while she recuperates in the recliner. And
so is the metatarsal, is that a toe bone? What is that? I don't know what that is.
Metatarsal, I think, is one of the, like your, I want to say that it's one of the, because your hand has metatarsals too. I think it's these bones before you get to the fingertip bones. But
I think you're right.
You know, a quick search on Google probably would clarify that. Yeah, sure enough, it's the five lung bones in the foot located between the tarsal bones of the hind and midfoot and the phalanges of the toes. So the toes are the phalanges,
right?
And metatarsals are the bigger ones.
Now, the reason this is significant is if chat room, you're looking at this video I'm putting or this image I'm putting up. There's the one that she broke, and that's the fifth metatarsal, it says.
That's right.
And that sometimes has to have like a beam put in there, like metal stuff to keep it good. And she didn't have to do that, right? It was the kind of break where they just casted her or what?
We don't know. Specialist today will tell us.
Oh, geez. Okay. It's common to get that surgery, but hopefully not, because that sucks. And feet. You don't know what it's like to live until your foot doesn't work. It sucks.
Oh, totally.
It sucks. I mean,
fortunately, her mom's friend has one of those three-wheeled scootery things that you can kind of put your knee on and roll around the house.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's deluxe. I mean, it's got a steering wheel, brakes, all that stuff. Like, she's tooling around the house like freaking Evel Knievel.
Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of fun. And yeah, people corrected me in the chat room. Tarsal is the toe. Carpal is the finger. So the metacarpals are these guys right here.
Oh,
but it's
right.
The equivalent of the metatarsals on your foot.
Now, I have broken a metatarsal. Metacarpal.
A metacarpal?
Uh-huh. Yeah, when I punched that kid in the nose, broke his nose in junior high. And I broke that bone that you're talking about. And I didn't have to do anything weird surgery-wise. I just sort of
say
healed.
Say fart guess one more time. Say it one more time.
Say it one more time. This time with gusto, and I punched him right in the face. No, it's because he copied my artwork. We've all heard this story. But anyway... Yeah.
They say what in fart gas? what language do they speak in what?
It's been fun to have everybody having fart gas on the mind again because fresh new theories are cropping up. People
really?
Yeah. People,
beyond the frog pants theory?
You know, just some include the frog pants theory. Others are like, well, maybe. It's like living that story over again because it's the same level of excitement. And a lot of new listeners have never heard it. And so they're all like have like these ideas about what fart gas or explosive tip meant for that matter.
Right. Well, just go back. If you don't know, just go back. When was it? It was Tuesday of last week, I think. I'm just looking. Yeah. Oh, no. Explosive tip was Tuesday of last week. Go back 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. It may have been week before, maybe something like that.
Maybe the week before.
So
yeah, we got another one coming up this week, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Good one, too, according to Jamie. So I want to express my condolences for her foot, first of all.
Sure.
Second of all,
pass that along.
I wish it was just a toe, like the phalange part of the toe, because those they can't do anything with. They're just like, well, be careful, wear a moon boot, do what you got to do, you know. Like, you can't really even splint it very well. And so that would have been nicer. F rocks and F nighttime where you have to step on them. That's right. What I'm getting at there. That is a huge bummer. All right. Well, I hope she's okay. And it's all of this aside, it's good. It's fun watching Brian go into servant mode. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm good. I'm getting really good at it.
Yeah, you're a pro, dude.
Big thanks, boy, also to HelloFresh and Blue Apron, man. Those are lifesavers when it comes to making dinner. It's like, all right, I can whip one of those together, whip something really good together in like 30 minutes or 40 minutes, and then
boom,
move
you're
on
done.
To something else.
Heck yeah.
By the way, yesterday was actually my Aunt Barb's birthday.
Yep.
But week before was my uncle George's birthday, and he and I kind of grew up as brothers. You know,
right.
We were 10 years different in age, and so he's the guy who got me into comics, got me into a lot of the music that I still listen to today. We played video games together. We were like, you know, on the Atari 2600 all the time, playing games against each other and stuff like that. And so,
yeah,
he and I have a brotherly bond, and he's kind of the one of the only people in my family that actually truly get me and vice versa. Right. It's
right,
like,
right.
You know, we could talk about, oh yeah, freaking Scarlet Spider. That sucked, didn't it?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I have this exact same problem, and I have very few people that I feel like get me either. So
you have an online community, maybe not in your family, but
yeah,
heck, I mean, you got Dunaway and me and
no,
and,
you guys are great. Don't get me wrong. But if I go to Thanksgiving,
there's nobody. You're
you know who gets
about,
me? My kids get me. That's it. My daughter will go, haha, yeah, the Spider-Man thing. Haha. And then everyone else is like, well, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, check it out. My salad looks like Rorschach. Oh, nobody gets that. Right.
Nobody gets that reference.
Hey, let me tweet this.
Anyway, sorry. So you and George celebrating Barb's birthday. Yeah.
Celebrating Barb's birthday. But I also had George's birthday present and decided that I was going to, after the last escape room that I went to, I decided I was going to do a kind of escape room present.
Yeah.
So, the whole thing is in a duffel bag, right? So I basically hand him this duffel bag. The duffel bag is locked. I almost should put up photos of the puzzles, but the duffel bag has a lock with a 3-digit code on it.
Yeah.
And then it's got like travel stickers on the side of the duffel bag that are Takodana, Alderaan, and the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Some more nerd references. Yeah.
Some more nerd references. And they're stuck on there, one kind of on top of the other, but kind of overlapping.
Right.
And the object was to figure out, okay, well, we saw Takodana in episode 7. We were on Alderaan in episode 3, and we were in the cantina on Mos Eisley in episode 4. I purposefully put Alderaan on there because I didn't want him to think, well, Alderaan was mentioned in episode 4. We saw the planet.
Right.
But no, we weren't on it until episode 3. So that was a little bit of a thing there.
Sure.
And then he opens that up, and there's a file folder with a sheet of paper in it and a Home Depot Homer box, one of those big orange boxes. Takes that out, and there's another lock on there that's like one of these four-letter code locks. And he opens up the folder, and there's like a map of the U.S. with a whole bunch, with like five different colored paths all over. I'm sorry, world map, not U.S. map. World map with like five different colored paths all over the map, with one of them going off into space.
Oh, okay.
And he's looking at this and looking at this, and like, oh, man, am I trying to figure out like the, you know, the locations of the Olympics or where something else comes from. And wait a minute, the fact that one of those paths goes off into space, is this movie related probably? And he's like, oh, wait. Okay. And he figures it out. And he pulls out the lock and he puts in B-O-N-D.
Oh.
Because these are
right.
The paths of all of the different Bond movies, all the different locations in the world they go. And of course, Roger Moore went up into space in Moonraker.
Right. The worst one, Moonraker.
Worst one. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, probably the worst one. He opens that up, and there's one final box in there that's got his present inside it. And it's it's the cash box we always use for Nerdtacular, but it's got a 3-digit code as well. And I gave him 3 CDs. Really, I just took the covers and put the CD inserts in there. But it was the album Heart by Heart. It was the album Love and Rockets by Love and Rockets. And it was the album, what was the third one?
These are all self-titled albums?
Duran Duran by Duran Duran.
Oh.
Exactly. the wedding album by Duran Duran.
Right.
Now, what I want him to figure out is not only are these self-titled albums, that in every case, they're not the debut album by each of those artists. Like, they weren't that wasn't the first Love and Rockets album. It was actually the fourth one, and they titled it Love and Rockets. And that's kind of why I picked self-titled, because I wanted him to really think about, oh, what do these have in common? They weren't the debut.
Yeah.
And so he figured out that this one took him a while, and it was perfect, because I had gems in the bag from Fantasy Coin. And every time he put in the wrong guess, I made him give me a gem. So he started out with 9 gems, because I didn't want him just like, oh, okay, well, I know it's Star Wars Episode 3, 4, and 7. I'll just try every permutation of 3, 4, and 7 until I get this open. I wanted him to really feel like there was a possible deadline.
Are these the gems that look like rupees from Zelda?
Exactly what they are.
Yeah,
yes.
I love those. So cool. I don't know where mine are. Somewhere here.
Yeah. So he correctly figured out that it was like, all right, Heart's 8th album was called Heart. Yeah. Love and Rockets' 4th album was called Heart. Love and Rockets and then the Duran Duran Wedding album was like their 7th album.
Right.
And he plugs those numbers in, opens it up, and his present is the Blu-ray collector's edition of all of the Universal Monsters, the classic Universal Monsters, Frankenstein.
Oh, Dracula. That's cool. That is not, you didn't, the Tom Cruise one's not in that pile though, right?
No, it is not. All right. It's all the black and white ones. And I think it even has a bonus 3D version of Creature from the Black Lagoon if you've got a TV or a PlayStation 4 that supports it. So,
wow.
That's had great. A blast making that, and now it's like, oh, I've got to do this every time now. This is such a blast.
You've established a new norm, and now you have to do it for everybody.
I've set the bar. Yep. Yeah, exactly. I can't go back now. But
yeah, I try hard not to set too many bars, because the more bars I set, the more trouble I get into.
But I was talking about this with Tina. I said, he's really the only person in my family that I could do this for. Like, if I were to do this for you, Tina, you would get so irritated with me after the first minute of, no, that's not right. What do those stickers have in common? Now, where do we see, that's what I would be doing the whole time, is like trying to goad her into the right thing. And she would get so irritated after like 5 minutes of that.
Yeah. It's the perfect gift for the perfect guy. Yeah. I think he did the right person there. Anybody else would have been like, I mean, anybody in your immediate family would have been like, what the hell are you doing, Brian?
Yeah,
this is exactly. Over the top. That's so great. He sounds like a cool guy. I don't think I've met him. Have I met him? Did I meet him in Vegas that one time?
You met him in Vegas at the Palms in Caesar's Palace when we all grabbed cheap appetizers there.
That's right. I enjoyed that.
Very briefly.
Yeah, not very long, but it was nice to meet him. I remember, what I remember most about that trip?
What's that?
You were really, really hot and sweaty. And it's like August, so
it was August in Vegas. And I'm not a skinny guy, unfortunately, so yeah. And plus I was running around. I had to do I was there for trivia, and I was there for the Star Trek thing.
Star Trek convention, right? Krusty Space Hands convention. That was the one.
This is the Krusty Space Hands convention. That's right. This is the one where Andrew had his debut album on Coverville Records there, and I had to go there and sell that during the day and then go do the trivia thing at night, and I was running back and forth like a crazy man.
I enjoyed that trip, but yes, you were running a little ragged, and I just remember you had said, hey, we got to figure out a way to hook up. Let's meet at Caesar's. We'll go to this place, have their awesome appetizer thing. And you were right. It was really good. I don't know if they do it anymore, but it was amazing.
They don't. No, it was so good. It was like $8, $7 for each of their appetizers if you went there between 5 and 7 during the weekday.
Yeah.
And their appetizers are as good as their $35 meals.
Their whole meals, yeah. That was good. I felt like we were getting a whole meal there. Those weren't appetizers. That was food.
That was food.
Yeah, it was really good. And so you were like, okay, I bet we have some time if we go there. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we meet you over there. And I just remember you had a red shirt on, and I remember it was all kind of pulled and disheveled and like stretched off your neck to one side, and you were just all, heh, heh. It looked like you'd been outside.
I'll bet I had to like run to Caesar's to make it there on time to meet with you guys and stuff like that. Oh,
I remember being slightly concerned. I'm like, yeah, I hope he's all right. He's just puffing and puffing.
I have a heart attack. It is going to be in August in Vegas. That's like... That mark my words, if it ever happens, that's when and where it's going to happen.
Well, look, there's worse places for you particularly to die. If you die in Vegas, for some reason that feels like it's maybe the right place.
Doing what he loved.
That's right.
Spinning wheels in a slot machine.
Hearing the sounds of porno street people flicking their cards. We'll miss him.
It, it's starting to warm up here in Denver, and that's me priming myself for the MS-150 bike race thing that I got to start. Make my page, set up my page so people can go find out more about that.
But it is warming up here as well. It was 65 degrees yesterday. What's up with that?
Oh, nice.
Still supposed to snow this weekend, though. What's that about?
It's March.
F you, weather gods. Not interested. Don't
March
want it.
Usually the snowiest month in Colorado. This year it has not been, but...
Well... You never know what you're going to get when there's things like, oh, I don't know, global warming. Hey, everybody, pull up a chair and enjoy the following. It's called Stump Dunaway, and Brian Dunaway is here to play it with us. Hi, Brian.
No, hi, Scott and Brian.
You're like clockwork.
Hello.
I don't even have to check to see if you've answered. He's just there. He's always there.
Just there.
Yeah.
So trustworthy.
That's because all I do is sit here waiting on Scott to call me. It's my life.
It's your whole life. I love it. I love it. It's really good. And today we'll actually do a boop show, come hell or high water, because I'm not having any...
You talk about rhyme?
Rhyme. Oh, yeah. We have to talk about rhyme still.
I've forgotten about rhyme. I don't even remember what I was going to say at this point.
Mission accomplished then. Hey, real quick, a note I just wanted to throw to both of you because you're both my friends and maybe you'll have a thought on this.
Sure.
I get this automated text from my dental office that says, "Hello, Scott. This is Matthews Dental and Orthodontics. Just a reminder that your appointment on March 13th at 1 p.m. is still happening. Call or text to confirm. Please bring with you your copy of your metal and dental insurance card." Denticle. They like to say denticle just to be different. and I wrote back, "I had a last-minute work issue arise," which is true, "and will need to reschedule." They sent me another one that says, "Hello, Scott. This is Matthews Dental and Orthodontics. Just a reminder of your appointment on March 13th at 1 p.m. Call or text us to confirm or cancel. See you then." I just did!
You just texted.
I already did.
Look, that thing only has two modes, yes or no. Don't throwing anything else at it.
Try just the word cancel. Maybe that's what it's looking for.
Maybe. Yeah.
It doesn't want to hear your excuses, Scott.
It does. It's a bot. It's AI. You're encountering your first dental AI.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'm going to cancel because I should just call him, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like talking to somebody. So I want to text your robot and have your robot pass it on. That's all. Is that too much to ask in 2018? No.
Boop.
No.
Somebody ask Elon Musk how best to handle my problem. He knows. All right.
He'll send my dentist right into space.
This is all true. All right, you guys, look, here's the deal. We're going to play Stump Dunaway, and we need you to call in to do it. The number is 801-285-9395. I just launched the phone thing, so they should come through now. 801-285-9395, and you can try to be a part of what we like to call here on the show Stump Dunaway. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. You know who just called me?
You can try to be a part.
Oh, we've got a great prize today, too, by the way.
We do. I just missed a call, by the way, from what looks to be my dental office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're probably like, "Oh, we got your text. Our robot's not very good. Sorry." Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'll call him later. But man, I hate dental stuff.
They didn't leave a message?
I don't know. No voicemail. Let's see. Oh. Just missed call. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they're still in there.
Maybe they're still writing and saying a message.
They could totally still be in there. Again, 801-285-9395.
Take care of your teeth. Nobody else will, Scott.
That's right. And this is the thing. We have our own. Oh, here's a call. Let's take it. I don't want to lose it. Hi. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Steve.
Hello, Steve. Steve, where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Welcome, man.
Kentucky, Steve.
How far are you from Lexington, Kentucky?
I am about 2 hours east.
Well, that's not...
on the eastern Kentucky border.
All right. And is that anywhere near the Hollers, where all the drugs are?
Yeah, it's way up the Hollers.
Way up the Hollers? Okay. I base my entire Kentucky knowledge comes from Justified.
From Justified, yeah.
I don't know anything else about nothing except that.
Yeah, I mean, you got Lexington and Louisville, which are like kind of like if Kentucky is a pair of binoculars, those would be the eye holes.
Yeah.
Right? Louisville on the left and Lexington on the right.
That sounds
and then
right.
Halfway between is the capital, Frankfurt. And maybe a little bit north of that.
Which is like the nose, right?
It's kind of like the where the dial you adjust on the binoculars.
I like this a lot. You have a very binocular view of Kentucky. Well, we have a connection to you guys because Kentucky Fried Chicken technically had their first restaurant in Salt Lake City. So there's all these great connections that we can make with one another. It's good to have you here. Let's play a little game. This is called Stump Dunaway, and Brian Ibbett will explain the rules.
That's right, Steve. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. Brian Dunaway is going to scratch his head with his pointy finger and then deliver to us, deliver upon us a numeric answer. Then we're going to turn to you, Steve, and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win, courtesy of Dodd Vickers, a copy of Fellowship of the Ring, special edition on DVD. Whoa. Let me tell you something. This is like, how many discs are in here? There are like four discs in here, because, you know, Peter Jackson can't do anything simple. Four discs, special edition of just Fellowship of the Ring.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if that weren't enough, you're also going to get a copy of Starward Rogue on Steam. It is an exciting Steam game. I hope I can't get this thing back together.
Starward Rogue, you say?
Starward Rogue. Explore the roguelike catacombs that evolve and expand with every achievement. Fight dozens of epic bosses and find your way through the labyrinth lodged in the side of a star.
Oh, I have this game, and it's great. I forgot this one. This one's real good.
Cool. Well, there you go.
It's a roguelike, and it's a twin-stick shooter, and it's a bullet hell game. All three of those genres I'm huge fans of, and it's in space.
Ooh, sorry, Steve. Looks like you're just getting the DVDs.
It's really, really good. You'll like it. I play this game. It's fantastic. All right. Well, there you go. It's they also made Last Federation. Oh yeah, I know this game. This game is great. You're gonna love this game. Cool. All right. Anyway, those are all the things you could win. But you have to know the topic. Brian, what is it?
The topic is Old Hollywood.
Old Hollywood, eh?
Gross Hollywood.
Old gross Hollywood.
Old gross stinky Hollywood.
So, Dunaway, you like yourself some old Hollywood, right? It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. I've watched the American Movie Channel. I've seen some classics.
Yeah.
Oh, then these should be a piece of cake for you.
Marge, get in here. There's someone on the phone saying, yeah, that's like all that kind of stuff, right? Classic movies.
Right, but there's usually a numeric question. I don't know how my numerical math is going to work out for this.
Well, let's see how it works. Here's your question. Welcome to Old Hollywood Week on Stump Dunaway. Let's start with a weird one. Clark Gable. You know, Gable, say, yeah.
Yeah, just like that. That's right. That's how I remember it, too.
Wait, was he one of the gay ones? He wasn't a gay one, was he?
No, I don't think he was a gay one.
Well, one of those guys was like famously...
Rock Hudson, I think, is who you're thinking of.
Rock Hudson, that's who it is. He was famously closeted, but super gay. All right.
Correct, yes.
Super gay.
Super like gay.
Clark Gable lost all his teeth as a kid, had replacements, and because of that had chronic halitosis. So
really?
You see him kissing Vivian Leigh on...
Clark Gable, heartthrob of the silver screen.
That's right, yes.
Had chronic halitosis.
Chronic halitosis. Vivian Leigh said it was the
frankly, I don't
overwhelming,
know.
But that she got along with him perfectly otherwise.
It was overwhelming. Frankly, my dear, I don't have a Tic Tac.
Exactly. He was the reason why they invented Tic Tacs, right?
No kidding. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, if I could have figured out a way to make that into a question, I would have, but I chose this instead. Right.
This is pretty good. on the Scoble scale, how 50, bad is Clark
50
Gable
seconds bad? With 50 seconds was the maximum time anyone could stand in his face.
There you go. All right. Well,
passing out.
He was obsessed with cleanliness, turns out, despite the teeth thing. And refused to take a bath because he found the thought of sitting in dirty water disgusting. But he liked a good shower. How many showers would Clark Gable take on a typical day? How many days did he not give a damn?
So he was a clean freak, but he didn't like the tub, so he had to take the showers. Now, you say typical day. Is this in his 20s typical day or in his 70s typical day?
Well, look, nobody in Hollywood times... Back then, you could be 30 and everyone thought you were 65, so it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
That's a fair point.
It was like during his stint peak. As a classic Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
All right, so during his peak,
right,
his peak showering. All right.
Yeah. Peak shower.
All right, so, okay.
That's what they had up at Snowbird for Nerd Tag. We had peak showers. They're fantastic.
Peak showers, yes.
Peak showers, yeah. Yeah, you did with the weird
windows
in the shower. That was weird.
They're gone now. You missed it last year. They took those out. They renovated the whole lodge,
yeah.
And it's not that way anymore. Anyway.
Mm. All right. So if I was all obsessed with taking showers, you know, let's see. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a logical answer to this, and I don't think there's a logical answer. It's just absolute craziness. I'm going to say every time that he went to brush his teeth, he wanted to do it 3 times a day, but he couldn't. He instead took a shower. So I'm going to go 3 showers a day for my halitosis friend.
3 showers a day. All right. Your fellow halitosis sufferer, right? Let's find out.
Can't wash the stank off.
Brian, is that the right Ibit? Is that the right number?
3 showers a day is incorrect. Steve from Kentucky, is the correct answer higher or lower than 3?
I am going to go higher.
Higher than 3, you say?
Seems like a safe bet, because if you were to go lower, it'd either be 2 or 1, and those just aren't as weird.
Yeah, I've taken 2 showers a day before. Not that weird.
Yeah.
But let's see if Dunaway I don't know. Is it? And see, the problem with where you live, you take a shower, you get out, you immediately feel dirty again because of the humidity. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how it was. I don't think my problem is number of showers a day as much as length of shower a day.
Yeah. Quality
of shower. Are you still in
the shower? Sure. You got to scrub that business down. All right. Let's find out if that's correct.
One shower's like a 15-year-old.
There you go. Oh, my gosh, dude. You know what we have? Okay, I'm sorry, but you brought up a point I have to address real quick before we see if you won. My son, who's 17.
Yeah. We don't want to hear it.
Takes eternal showers.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem with that. Yeah. Right before he goes in, Nick, please don't take forever. A, I need the water. B, it just takes forever. He's done this so many times now that the paint in there that was all part of the house when it was built, when it was a model home, is not peeling, but it's bubbling and kind of has a not black mold like that would kill you, but like. It's not the kind of paint. Let's put it this way. They didn't put the most expensive paint in there when they built the thing. Mm-hmm. They didn't expect someone to go in there and take 45-minute freaking steam bath showers.
Yeah.
And now we have to go in there and sand all that shit off, probably put new things in there, all because the boy can't take a 15-minute shower.
Well, all you have to do, you want to cut those showers short, just say, yeah, we talked about your long showers on TMS today, and the tadpole had a whole bunch of suggestions for ideas of what you're doing in there. Boy, his showers will get short now.
Carter.
Secondarily, without embarrassing your child, you could turn down the thermostat on the hot water heater so that the showers only last 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, or sure. I was thinking I'd go in there with a cup of cold water and just chuck it on him while he's in there.
That's good, too.
His sister, Carter, who listens to the show, is probably mortified right now. So, Carter, there you go. Free one. All right. Let's let's move on here and find out if that number is indeed higher. Is it? Will Steve win?
Congratulations.
Get it, Steve win?
You're a winner.
You know, defrocked, famous casino billionaire.
Publicly shamed Vegas casino owner, Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn. Well, Steve, you've won. And the truth is, he usually took 4 showers a day.
Oh, I was so close.
You were so close.
Very close.
One off. Now, if you'd have said like 9, I'll bet you Steve would have said lower. I think Steve's just got an ear for this. Is my
thinking. 5 would have been a very tricky one if you would have said 5. I'm not sure if you would have said higher or lower.
That's right. Now, if you want these items, and I know you do, Steve, you need to send an email to briancoverville@gmail.com. That's coverville@gmail.com, and that stuff will come straight out to you. Congratulations, and well done, Brian Dunaway, for yet another winner walking away because you had a low number. Good job.
You guys do realize these come directly out of my pocket, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every time
you
win a prize, you're stealing from me.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying your answers come out of your pocket.
They come out. Really?
Right, that
you
too.
You think I'd be sending stuff
back
to
pocket.
You if you
yeah. get it wrong? Yeah, you think you'd have Lord of the Rings special edition on DVD by now?
I thought the deal was if I stepped 4 times in a row, I got all the prizes. It's not.
I've never heard this rule. This is new.
That's an interesting thought. No. We'll have to discuss that.
Although that is an interesting, we could have some fun with that. Like, yeah, it may
really,
not...
if you really want to be considered for these prizes, I think that would be a really funny incentive for the listeners to win.
Yeah, it would be, because not only would they be trying to screw you every time, you would probably really think about your answers in a way that you
really
that you don't
try.
Know.
Yeah, really.
Like right now, I think you try, but you'd really try. You know,
oh, I'd really try. Oh man, especially at like at around turn four. Oh my god.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We know what worm this fish wants. That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Dunaway, be good, have fun, stay out of trouble. Always the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Everybody follow him there, and you can be amused by his hilarity. He has hilarity. He's a funny guy.
Yes,
and we enjoy him greatly. Hilarity. Here's the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Oh, good, and that news is brought to you by.
Brought to you by Soundography. Season 4 of Soundography began today. Well, actually, Ham and I recorded it weeks ago, but we like a little bit of buffer because of, you know, travel that we may do.
Sure.
But the first episode hit the web today, and season 4, episode 1 is about Genesis / Peter Gabriel. So we take you through the first part of Genesis's background and then into Peter Gabriel's solo stuff. Boy, I wonder what we'll do for the last episode of season 4. Maybe you can feel it in the air tonight. I don't know.
I was going to say, I knew this first episode was me feeling something in the air last night. So this is great. I like it.
You just might have to ask your mama what she thinks the last episode of season 4 is going to be. But we take you through all the great stuff, like Games Without Frontiers and Salisbury Hill and that awesome album, Us. And so, oh my gosh, so good. Dude. So make sure you check it out, soundography.com for the episode.
I love him so much. I just He's think great. Peter Gabriel is one of the great things of all time.
He really is. And I mean, Salisbury Hill, it's just such a great song. And it's actually about his departure from Genesis.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I really like everything. I mean, even his In Your Eyes, which got overplayed like hell because of the movie, is still just it's such a classic. Like, it's, I can hear that right now, and I'm immediately 17 in high school just having the time of my life.
In Your Eyes, by the way, I think might be the song I have the most covers of in my library. I'm just taking a look really quick.
It's not Africa.
No. Well, maybe, yeah, amazing, right? That it's not Africa. Filter by song title and filter by groupings. Peter Gabriel. Ooh. I have 92 covers of In Your Eyes in my library. There might be some duplicates in there.
The way you said that, it made me wish that there was a filter cover of In Your Eyes, because you said,
"Oh, that'd be great."
Yeah, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great? Because you'd have to filter. Yeah, you'd have to filter for filter.
A filter filter.
That's right, a filter filter. Get it today. All right. Hey, look, what happened in India? This is a bad thing. Speaking of people getting stuff done with their legs, your wife had this deal with her foot. Well, sure. How about this Indian doctor who's now in trouble because he got suspended because he used a severed leg from a patient as a pillow. Indian authorities have suspended two doctors, actually, and launched an investigation after a patient's severed leg was used as a pillow to prop up his head. This according to hospital officials. Administrators at the government-run hospital in Uttar Pradesh vowed strict action. I'd do it in an accent, but I'd be accused of racism.
Yeah, exactly.
After images emerged showing the patient on a stretcher with the amputated limb being used as a headrest. We have set up a four-member committee.
We didn't even use...
What?
Wait. Wait, the doctor... It says that a patient on a stretcher with the amputated limb being used as a headrest. So... The doctor didn't use it to prop up his own head. He used it to prop up the patient's head.
Yeah. We should, yes. That should be clarified in case anyone's missing that. This isn't him just going, ha, 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 take a selfie. I'm using this guy's leg.
Right.
I don't know what's worse, but it seems a little worse to have the unconscious patient who just had his leg amputated having his own leg jammed behind his head so that he has a headrest. That seems terrible. Kidding. Yeah.
Hey, have you ever wanted to have your be able to put your legs behind your head? Well, guess what?
It says two doctors have been suspended pending investigation. The man identified as 28-year-old Gran Shyam. Sure. Was seriously injured in a bus accident. His relatives told a local news station that the hospital staff ignored their request that he, who goes by the name, goes by one name, Gran Shyam, be given a pillow. Instead, they gave him his leg for a pillow. Sounds like something Dr. Nick Riviera would say, doesn't it?
I replaced his leg with a pillow and a pillow for
his leg. It's my old friend Ned with a leg for an arm and thinking. An arm for a leg. Yeah, he's great. Freaking love Dr. Nick. Russell Crowe in the news.
I like this last line, though. I repeatedly asked the doctors to intervene, but they refused, Prasad added, saying that Granshian's relatives eventually bought a pillow from a local market. like that's the problem, is we don't have a pillow.
Yeah, I think it must be cultural. Russell,
if we get a pillow, will you please replace his leg with the pillow?
Yes, please. Such a weird thing, though. Like, why would really you? Sorry, I don't know why you'd do it. It seems like the hospital would have something better than the leg to put there.
Anything, right? I mean, wad up somebody's jacket. Wad up the patient's jacket. Maybe his pants, because he's not using half of them.
Yeah, use
wad
anything. Also,
use those as a pillow.
If you're in the, I can't speak for Indian stuff, but I think here in the States, they have a place that they put your severed limb right after you're done, so that it's done. It's not a thing you're going to play with or goof around with or do anything with. It's like this, I don't want to call it a sacred thing, but it's like a, you want to have as much respect for this thing you had to remove as possible. It's a piece of a person. Putting it underneath their head is not funny, Dr. Sanjay, or whatever your name was. Rude. Rude is what I'd say.
Yes.
Speaking of rude, Russell Crowe in the news.
Yeah.
He's a little rude sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's selling phone at somebody. He did throw a button. Remember that phone thing? What was the deal there?
I guess I remember the worst. I remember back when the worst things actors did was throw phones at their assistants.
Yeah. We've come a long way, baby. Anyway, selling a bunch of jock straps, dinosaur skulls, and a chariot from Gladiator for his divorce auction. two of those things I want. I read
that as like all three things came from the set of Gladiator.
I love that there would be dinosaur skulls in Gladiator.
Right, exactly. Are you not entertained by my chaos theory?
Plus this jockstrap I'm wearing. Celebrities tend to try and keep their high-profile divorces with fees and settlements and stuff running in the millions out of the public eye, but not Russell Crowe. His soon-to-be ex-wife, Danielle Spencer, the pair who separated 5 years ago, will finalize their divorce imminently. And are celebrating by auctioning off their collection of movie memorabilia, guitars, furniture, jewelry, all that kind of stuff at Sotheby's in a sale card called The Art of the Divorce. This is the thing that includes jockstraps, dinosaur skulls, and the chariot.
Okay, I kind of like the fact that this is the two of them. It sounds like it's a kind of an amicable thing. It's like, let's just sell all of our crap and call it The Art of Divorce.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. Like there's something... Yeah. I don't know. There's something sweetly sad about it. Like, in a way, it's like a. This isn't him desperately trying to make enough money to cover some horrible thing she's doing. Or maybe it is, but it seems like they're kind of jointly like, we're going to, sell the stuff off.
More money, you're not.
You're not getting any. You're not getting any more money.
This is you. I'm just curious if the auction is up. I want to see what else they have.
This is a divorce. Yeah, where did we find that? Where can we see?
Let's say Crow. Let's say it's under Crumb on the Sotheby's.com website. And, man, it ain't eBay. That's for sure. Like, it's people selling the Baccio della Porta old master painting for $4,898,500.
Yep.
This is not...
here's a website. I think I found
it. A sandwich that is... looks like Jesus.
Why is there... Okay, playing Gladiator scene? Are you kidding me? All right, here it is. I found it. This is Sotheby's Australia website.
Oh, that's the problem. I went to .com. I should have went to...
well, it goes .com.au. So it's still .com, but there's a .au after that.
Yeah.
And it's in here. And let's see. It shows the dates. Okay. Props and costumes from... as the character Andy in the film Proof, 1991's Proof. A pair of maroon leather Doc Martin boots worn by Russell Crowe as the character Hando in the film Romper Stomper in 92.
Uh-huh.
Don't know what any of these are.
No.
Do you remember Virtuosity? Do you remember that movie?
Kind of, yeah.
He was Sid 6.7 in that thing. It was
character. Yeah, right.
I don't remember the main dude. What's his name? Shit. I remember Virtuosity. Very vaguely. A collection of ephemera relating to the film L.A. Confidential.
Like his, the back part of his chair, the little chair strap thing that says, "This is my chair, don't you sit in it.
Don't
I'll throw a phone at you.
You get in my chair, I'll kill you." A pair of black leather wrist cuffs worn by Russell Crowe as the character Maximus in the film Gladiator 2000. I would go for those. That's cool. Yeah. How about the wooden training sword from the film?
That's what I like. You know, I know this. Yeah. The aluminum sword is right below that for like five times the cost.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with the wooden training sword they used for Gladiator. I think
would
that's
too.
Really cool.
I'm tempted to bid on that. Currently things are a little tight, so I don't have 800 to throw at a dumb thing like that. But that's tempting. Like, there's no way it stops. It's 800. That's the problem. It'll go higher.
Right. Yeah.
He's also got army leg wraps from the same film, a life-size horse, prop horse used for the same film, fully functional replica Roman chariot from the film, so you get a real horse and you can pull that shit.
Wow, he's got a lot of watches. Like the whole, I went to page 9, the last page of this.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of different watches. Oh, like
I found the jockstrap. Number 25, the jockstrap, a brown leather boxer's protector used in the film Cinderella Man 2005. All right, sorry, last page. Let's see, what were you saying? You found
page,
something cool.
Page 9 is all watches.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Oh, my gosh, dude. Look how expensive
dude
these
collects
watches
are. I guess. It looks like page 8 is all of his wife's jewelry. So you got all of her jewelry on page 8, and then page 9 is...
Rolex, a fine gold automatic chronograph, wristwatch, registers, bracelets, blah, blah, blah. 40 to 50,000 is the estimate.
Wow.
For one watch. That's just one of these watches. The rest are like 10 grand, 20 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand. This is gross.
Has a slight old man smell to it.
We pay our actors and people a lot of money, dude. It's
gross. I mean, you know, it's people, it's just people wanting a piece of his memorabilia. I guess was big into cricket too, because he's got cricket bats and gloves, like all these things, like in shadow boxes and stuff too, on the fourth or fifth page.
Oh yeah, there it is. John N. Moose McGuire's. I love this guy's name. John Moose McGuire's Australian baggy green test cricket cap. That's great.
Nice.
Yeah, a whole bunch of sports memorabilia, mostly cricket and maybe rugby. Some of these.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, there's a cricket bat. That's cool.
Wow, the original scoreboard numbers from the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Oh, wow. Here's a good one. A Muhammad Ali plaster relief life cast face plaque presented to Russell Crowe by Angelo Dundee.
I can't believe
there's a guy named Dundee. Attention. Sorry, go ahead.
Let me direct your attention to page 5.
Got it.
Number 124.
All right, let's
second
dig
item in from the bottom.
All right, I'm in there.
Can you tell me what exactly... we're bidding on there.
What is that? Can I blow that up?
Well, look at the description to the right.
Okay. Dale Frank, born 1959. Is this the one?
That's the one. And what does it say underneath that?
Varnish on canvas, signed and dated.
Oh, that's not what it says here.
What does yours say?
It says freenudemalecelebrities.com, Kirk Cameron.
What? What? Wait, how am I seeing this?
You're apparently seeing the right thing. I don't know what I'm like. I don't know what the photo is.
Oh, no. I see it too.
Okay.
What's that about? Okay. You know what? For science, I'm going to look this up, but I'm not going to show it on the screen. So there you go, chat.
You're really going to follow that link?
Yeah, I'm going to click it and see what it is. Sorry, we couldn't find that page. Okay, we're okay.
Oh, thanks. Saved. Whew. Saved a lot.
Somebody screwed up.
I think so. Somebody copied and pasted what they shouldn't have been copying and pasting.
That's hilarious, dude.
Oh, please note, the title of the work does include the HTTP address relating to Kirk Cameron and is not a data corruption. So the name of the piece of art is freenudemalecelebs.com/KirkCameron/KirkCameron003.html.
What? This is when I... want to kick artists in the nuts because they're being stupid. That's dumb.
That is
dumb.
Hilarious.
It's dumb.
It just means that he was at an art gallery and said, oh, I'll take that free new male celebs Kirk Cameron painting there.
Wait, how much is that expected to go for? Does it say 40 grand? Sorry.
40
no.
grand. Yeah.
Sorry, not doing it. All right. Well, whatever. Sometimes I think the trick is to do something super dumb
And celebrities who have
growing pains.
And what will happen is celebrities who already have everything, they'll give you money for dumb shit.
Yeah, right.
I need
right.
to do more dumb shit. That's what this Apparently. Is. We're going to take a break. I'll save these other two stories for tomorrow.
All right.
Spoilers of the Major Style will be here. Major spoilers, Steven Yay! Schleicher will be here right after the break, so come on back for that. In the meantime, Brian has music.
I do indeed. Let's go to this one, which is comes to us from Liverpool, but not the Liverpool you're expecting. Liverpool, New York, in the USA. A band called Chris Eves and the New Normal. This is from their brand new album called Find Your Way. I love this. This is so cool. Let me see if I got any more information about them. They blur the lines between rock, funk, and blues with a healthy dose of jam band influences like Fish, Turquoise, Government Mule, Cheap Trick, Greg Allman, and many others. They're big fans of like the Zac Brown Band. And actually, they've even shared the stage with all of those bands I just mentioned. Government Mule, Cheap Trick, Greg Allman, Fish, all that. So great stuff. And again, they come from Liverpool, New York in the U.S. of A. Five-piece jam rock band. Here are Chris Eves and the New Normal with Walking on a Wire.
From tangled lines of love and hate. Now I can't tell you if it's chance or if it's fate that ties us together. We both know it's not the first time that we've gone down a road only wide enough for one. And that was never meant for two to balance on. Let's do that attempt. Baby, you and me, we're always walking on a wire. And with every step, it seems we're only getting higher. Yeah, darling, I know we're a long way off the ground. We just try not to look down. Maybe we might make it this time. And roll. We're going up in flames, and we keep changing the rules in the middle of the game. But when it's over, the score is still the same. World won us nothing. Baby, you and me, we're always walking on a wire, and with every step, it seems we're all. We'll be right back.
guys. I'm using the Bissell Bark Bath to bathe my dog. Well, not right this second, but I did the other day. Brian's used it on his dog. We have used the Bissell Bark Bath, and we are here to tell you that it's kind of rad. Bathing your dog is a huge pain in the winter. Can't do them outside. Causes a messy bathroom. If you're doing it inside, cleanup's a huge pain in the butt. Groomers are expensive. The Bissell Bark Bath allows parents to bathe their pet. Parents of pets. I love it. With virtually no mess, eliminating the inevitable cleanup that comes along with washing your four-legged family member. It's an all-in-one system that can be used in any room of the house, anytime, with minimal mess. Bark Bath works with any length of fur or hair, although I would recommend it really for them furry ones, the ones that are usually the hardest to bathe. This thing is awesome for those. And it uses no-rinse shampoo. Specifically designed nozzles get beneath the fur and down to the skin, the true source of the stink. Allows water and shampoo to wash the skin clean with a soft suction that pulls the dirt and water away into a separate dirty water tank that you just dump out. What's more, Bark Bath uses less than 48 ounces of water to clean pets, up to 80 pounds. Compare that with a traditional bathing in a tub. It's going to take about 19 gallons of water. Look at you making a better imprint on the water use in your state, country, city, town. All right? I've really enjoyed it. My dog took a little bit of getting used to it. There's a little bit of a sound with it when you first turn it on. But nothing too crazy. And now she loves it. In fact, I think if she could speak English, she'd say, please give me another. Visit Bissell.com/TMS to learn more and buy your very own Bark Bath. When you use the coupon code TMS, you get two free bottles of rinse-free, how do you put this? No rinse shampoo is what I'm trying to say with your order. That's right, no rinse shampoo. Think about that. Oh, the mess you're going to save. Coupon code is only good for a limited time, so do it now. That's Bissell.com/TMS, Bissell.com/TMS, and use that code at checkout, TMS. Do it today. Your dog's going to love it.
Everyone thinks that his own manners are all right, even if they aren't perfect, and that being correct only helps to spoil fun. Let us compare what these students do and don't do with what we think is right.
Don't just wish you were taller. Do something about it.
The Morning Stream.
What's that?
We're back.
Just confirmed. Scott Fletcher and his wife will be at Viva TMS Vegas.
I heard this. I heard it was a distinct possibility, but I hadn't heard.
It's official now. They've booked and all that stuff.
Where'd you see that? Was that Facebook or something?
Yeah, he posted on Facebook in the chat room that they've got their room.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I always look forward to seeing Fletcher. Probably figure out a way to
work him into the festivities.
Yeah. Because, you know,
he wants to be worked in. Absolutely.
He's always down to clown. Sure. Why not? Yep. All right. We're going to kick. Whoops. I accidentally almost called Fletcher because I'm talking about him. You ever do that? You're just typing away and.
Totally. Yeah. And you.
It's not good.
Whatever you're talking about. Yeah.
Not good. Let's give Steven Schleicher a call and see what he's up to in this time of his life, which would be about 12:11 p.m. in the central time zone, which is where he is. We'll get his opinion on what it means to change the clock an hour forward, and we'll do it in a second. From the burning hills. Actually, you guys aren't burning anymore, right? Is there less
no,
fires?
Those fires were put out.
Okay. What was the deal with the... What's with all the fires, Stephen? Why?
It's
what?
It's dry, it's hot, and it's windy. And that combination in grasslands just means trouble.
Okay. So, but you're good.
10,000 acres.
Was that all? Only 10,000?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it.
Oh. All right. Only 9,999 acres more than I'll ever see in my life.
Yeah.
Where I live anyway. Or no, wait. I'll never. Oh, no, I don't own an acre. What do I own? It's like a third of an acre. I don't know what I have. But whoever has those 10 acres, sorry, man. It's too bad. Steven, it's good to have you here. It's Major Spoiler Zone, Steven Schleicher. Where do you stand on. The every 6 months change in time around. Do you think we ought to just leave it alone and knock it off, or where?
I would rather at this point just leave it alone and knock it off. Although it does, if you've got kids in school, it's a good time to talk to your kids about why this happened and what does it mean and what their thoughts are. So it opens up some good dialogue with your kids, but I'd rather just stay at the current time as is right now today and then leave it at that.
Maybe they're the generation that will change it, see?
Eh, probably not.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Look, the kids are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way, is the way the song goes. Is that how it goes?
I believe a wise woman once said.
Well, it's good to have you here. Of course, all the things that are nerdy come out of majorspoilers.com, comics, movies, TV, all that kind of fun stuff. And to start things off, we're going to talk about DC launching DC Black Label.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know what this is yet because I've held off because I want to hear your description, but it sounds to me like they're getting a little edgy over there at DC.
So here's the thing. I don't know if it's going to be edgy or not because they haven't said that these are adult-oriented titles or that they're going to be a more mature. But just recently, they did announce DC Zoom and DC Ink, which are imprints that are aimed at younger readers. These are, according to DC, them bringing in some of the best talents in the agents in the industry and then letting them have their way with characters. So, for example, Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. are going to be doing Superman Year One, which was a previously announced book. That was kind of not spinning out of, but kind of inspired by the Dark Knight 3 series that ran not too long ago that had some people concerned.
The cover art for this thing is very reminiscent of Dark Knight, kind of silhouette in the sky, wet weather happening. Although this isn't a stormy night, it's like a shining day.
Yeah, shiny day for Superman.
But I look at that and go, oh yeah, freaking Dark Knight.
I think one of the big things that emerges out of this is that DC wants people to know that these are not tied to any current continuity. So they're putting it out in its own imprint. Now, decades ago, we used to have these line of what if books out of DC Comics called Elseworlds series. These are also don't appear to be Elseworlds series. So, you know, kind of take it for what you will. These are creators telling interesting stories about their favorite characters and not having to worry about continuity. For example, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo will be doing Batman: A Last Night on Earth, which sounds really weird because he's going to team up with John Constantine. He wakes up and he finds the Joker's head in a jar, but the head is still alive, and he's walking through this like post-apocalyptic world trying to figure out where he belongs in this.
I'm so in on that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's a Batman Damn with Brian Azzarello and I forget the artist's name. That's the one that has John Constantine in it, where he's going to go to hell and figure out who murdered the Joker.
Okay. But these guys, you got the Joker's head in a jar thing, right? The Snyder, Greg Capullo thing.
Yeah. I can't stop the metal there.
Dude, I love them as a team. So whatever you tell me, I'm good with them working on whatever's next.
The other thing about these books is they appear to be like more of a prestige format 3-issue run. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be a little bit more expensive. We don't know cover prices right now. But most of the ones that have been listed show as 3-issue miniseries. I'm guessing prestige format, that'd be like maybe 60 pages each is my guess. Mm-hmm. So they're ones that people will probably want to check out, but they're also not going to be tied into what's going on in current books. So if people are like, oh, how does this tie into, you know, what the Justice League are doing? It's not. Yeah. And it's certainly not DC teaming up with Johnny Walker, which is another thing that I'm sure some people have thought about.
So the logo is cool. I like it. Kind of like a gray on black DC Black Label thing with a circle around it using the font of the current DC logo.
By the way, I do appreciate the Johnny Walker Black
Label. There you go.
Yeah, well done. Good job. Also, whenever anyone says Johnny Walker, I would just think of whiskey. Why? Why do I do that?
Because Johnny Walker is a whiskey.
Johnny Walker Black Label.
Is that the whole thing? That's their whole business? And there's no guy named Johnny Walker that's like does things now like on TV or anything?
There was Johnny Drama who was trying to get a deal with Johnny Walker.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
But that fell through.
I'm thinking of
and
something
Johnny
weird.
Johnny Bravo, but just because the jacket fit correctly.
Yeah. Now that's a reference.
Walker, maybe named after somebody, but is basically, wasn't Johnny Walker the Blade Runner
was
alcohol?
It? Oh, yeah, maybe it was. Maybe that's what I'm thinking Johnny of Walker. And that's so familiar right away. Or you know who I'm thinking of? I know it. It just hit me. I'm thinking of 90s star and not so much 2000s, Johnny Lee Miller is who I'm thinking of.
Okay.
When you say Johnny Walker, I think of Hacker's Own Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes, right. Okay. Former Paramore to Angelina Jolie, I believe.
Yeah, one of them.
Stemming from that movie.
Yeah, one of the three, right? How many is she? Right. Let's see. Yeah, Johnny
at
Miller.
At least high profile. Johnny Depp, Tommy Lee, or not Tommy Lee Jones.
She was
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton.
That was like three-named guy, older Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, she went, I'm leaving you for Brad Pitt. And he said, I don't care, he says. You know, like he did in that movie, get it? Anyway, hey, Steven, that's great. What else is showing up? This Wonder Woman Historia of the Amazons. That I don't know what to expect there. What's this?
Yeah, that's taking a look at Queen Hippolyta and the Rise of the Amazons. So you're going to see some this is going to cover the history of the Amazons before Steve Trevor washes up on shores. We also have Wonder Woman Diana's Daughter, which is going to explore some future stuff with Wonder Woman. And then we also have one that I believe we talked about before on the morning stream. But if not, I know that this is a previously announced book. I think this one is, I can't remember if this is a one-shot or if it's another multi-part series. It's the other history of the DC Universe, where all the big events in the DC Universe we look at through the eyes of people of color from the DC Universe. So we'll get a look at how events transpire with Jon Stewart and Vixen and Supergirl and Katana and Renee Montoya, and how them being, you know, considered outsiders, people of different origins like Supergirl, how do events change based on their worldview. So that one should be really interesting. That's from John Ridley, who did 12 Years of a Slave.
Oh,
and I think a lot of people are interested in that one.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be curious about that. You know what this reminds me of? And I was thinking about this last night. You want to make all the money in the world? Here's what you do. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Scott's recipe for making all the money there is. Okay? Here's what you do.
First, you got to win the lottery.
You make a deal. You get it. You somehow, now this requires a lot, so bear with me, but you got to make a deal where Marvel agrees and DC agrees for this one crossover to make a movie. Okay, so this is an MCU DCU crossover. You need to be able to take Wonder Woman from the DC universe as she is currently constituted in film, Gal Gadot and all that, Gadot, whatever it is. You bring her over, and then from Marvel, you bring over that Black Panther fella. And now you got a movie that is Black Panther and Wonder Woman, who have a lot in common, it turns out, because they both come from places that have been hidden or veiled from the view of the world, right?
They're both royalty.
They're both royalty. They have a lot in common, it turns out, and would be the most money-making kick-ass movie of all time, and you would make all of the money. That's my recipe. So whoever can make that happen, Figgy, whatever your name is, You hook up with whatever your whoever your guy is over there at DC equivalent, and y'all put your you mix your ingredients together, and boom, you got the best muffin you ever baked.
Stir together the cheese. Figure out some way, some wormhole opens up to merge these two universes.
It'd be incredible. It'd be amazing. It'd be an amazing freaking combo, because they'd be great complementary characters to each other. They just have this unfortunate truth of being in separate business entities / universes, which is a bummer, because you'll probably never see this happen, but I'm telling you, as currently constituted, those characters would jive.
Well, interesting you should mention that, Scott. Apparently, if this Time Warner deal falls through, then they are seriously looking at selling off Warner Brothers and DC.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Now,
really?
Let me rub my chin. Who would be the company large enough with deep enough pockets to possibly acquire these? See, but then isn't this all kinds of FCC trouble?
Not FCC, probably SEC.
Or that's what I meant, SEC. FCC's Federal Communications.
The other one's monopoly kind of situation?
Yeah, like if Microsoft bought Apple and Google, that would be frowned upon, right? So why would this be any different? Maybe they don't care about entertainment. They don't get as picky about it.
I mean, the fact that Disney owns both Star Wars franchise and Marvel franchise is an issue. I mean, you throw in the DC franchise. I don't think it's like, you've got a monopoly on superheroes. You're going to have to give some of them up.
Yeah. What would Bob Kane say? He's rolling in his grave. Like, yeah, they
let me out of here.
You know, I got to tell you, Steven, I've never heard a better dead Bob Kane in a coffin impression in my life than that one. That was really good. But you know what I'm saying? At some point, when you own the Muppets and Star Wars and all of Disney proper and now a bunch of Fox shit, like, or I guess that's about to go through. Right. At some point, doesn't that get regulators? I have to think someone says something. Because at some point,
that's one of the things that has to go on with this Fox deal, is they have to go through all of the procedures and steps to make sure that they're not getting that majority hold on the industry, which, you know, Disney kind of already has the majority hold on the industry.
They kind of do. So here's my thinking. If they did this, oh my gosh, in some ways it makes me really excited. Other ways I don't want it, because I think Disney may be getting a little too big. But the creativity that you could do there is interesting. But then you start to ask the question, well, then why even have separate universes? What are we doing here? The only reason these exist as separate universes is because they were owned by competing entities, and that's it. That's the only reason. So what would stop them from just saying, it's time for Marvel's Batman? You know what I mean? Like, just go straight to the
lawsuit,
meat.
Number one. Well, they do. It's called Moon Knight.
Yeah, I know that. But what I mean is, if they buy them, then there's no point in having the separation.
Right.
So if Marvel buys them, that's just Marvel's
universes. I mean, there'd be an uproar if Disney all of a sudden announced Luke Skywalker meets Spider-Man.
I don't think it's that crazy. They had this Star Trek Enterprise D crew hang out with Doctor Who for a bunch of issues.
Well, in comics, yes, but that's a whole different thing than making a movie with those two.
Yeah, but you could. But my thinking of the Black Panther and the Wonder Woman thing isn't so crazy. That could work.
No, it would. And here's the thing to keep in mind, too. 90% of the people who watch Black Panther and Wonder Woman and, you know, Spider-Man and whatever, they don't know. They don't know that they're from two different comic universes. At one point, when Marvel was being considered to be going out of business, and they were looking to be bought up and being sold off, and I forget who they bought them. It may have been Ike Perlmutter's group. But after the deal had been signed, they go into the office and they're like, we just got Superman. And they're like, no, we didn't. Superman's over at DC. And they were like, oh, they were actively trying to stop the deal because they didn't know the difference between Marvel and DC.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Well, that's because they were dumb then.
But, well, like, they just saw superheroes and was like, hey, right. Superheroes is Superman, so we must be buying Superman.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. But I don't know what I'm... I guess what I'm saying is I like things that disrupt our traditional thinking. I like things that make me go, oh, yeah, why do we have this weird, you know, separation of these things? And does it really matter in the end? Like, if we're getting good content, whether it be in the books or it be in the theaters or it be on TV, who cares? Like, I just want good things, and then, you know.
Well, so that's the other thing, too, about why is it good to keep these separate? Because it creates competition, and competition usually creates innovation, and innovation leads to bigger and better things.
Right. But this wouldn't be, like, comics-wise, this isn't, like, an unknown thing. They've had plenty of crossovers time. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, the one, remember that Amalgam series?
What was it called? We just covered it on the Major Spoilers podcast most of last year. We covered every single issue that came out.
So Batman,
of that disaster.
Like Batman, it was kind of a disaster, but the Batman and the Wolverine combo was so cool.
Yeah, Dark Claw.
Yeah, Dark Claw. Yeah, those were great.
It's badass. Plus, you know, you had that whole crossover with Frank Miller writing a Batman Spawn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that because good. The Spawn, the Batarang that went into Spawn's head in the final scene, the rest or from, I don't know, for the next year, the Spawn comics that Capullo was doing.
Yeah,
had a shoelace tied up the big scar from the Batarang from that issue. I used to think that kind of stuff was so badass. So whatever, the little nerd in me gets excited about the crossover. So we'll see. All right, what else we got going on? Oh, we did talk about the Jon Favreau thing and doing Star Wars a while ago, but I'm curious your take on it. How do you?
I think this is really interesting. Number one, they've already got a good relationship with Jon Favreau, but the big thing that comes out of this is Disney is not going to sit still when they and just let someone else take over the streaming environment. They're coming out of the gate when this Disney streaming service launches in end of next year. They're coming out of the gate swinging. And with the Marvel stuff they're bringing over, not all the Marvel stuff, the Netflix stuff will stay at Netflix. But Star Wars and their Disney properties that they're putting into the streaming service, this is going to be huge. And I guarantee you, with as good as Star Wars Rebels ended, now that's an animated series.
Yeah.
There are people who are going to flock to the service to see what this Star Wars live action series is going to be all about. And this is Disney just saying, hey, remember, we are the big boss in the room. Doesn't matter if we're late to the streaming party, we're still going to bring in all the monies.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, essentially, they're doing the play that CBS All Access is doing.
Mm-hmm.
All they had, and all they had was Star Trek. That's all they had to really push that. And I really liked Star Trek Discovery, like, a lot. But it was never enough for me to say, it's enough for me to subscribe when the show's on and then not be subscribed when it's off.
Yeah.
So I don't see how that changes for them unless something crazy happens at Paramount, or rather CBS. In the case of Disney having their own streaming service, I mean, the freaking sky's the limit. They own too many cool things to not take huge advantage of this. And this is just a Star Wars series we're talking about.
Yeah.
You could get, and if this Fox deal goes through, you could get like a proper week-to-week 12 episode per season proper X-Men series.
Right.
Or a proper, maybe this is the place, Brian, where we finally end up with the Fantastic Four the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah, right. Like a weekly serialized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your idea of doing it like in the 50s or in a 50s. World of Tomorrow kind of setting, perfectly suited for an more of an experimental TV run than it is for a film.
Yep.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't have to have that continuity issue with the current MCU films if you did it like
that. So I'm convinced.
Plus, there'd be that whole what's his name, Johnny Storm, there is wearing Captain America's uniform. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm convinced this is going to be huge.
That's right. Yeah.
And I've been thinking, because I've made a commitment to myself, no more new subscriptions. But here's what I'm going to do. When this rolls around, it's going to be a hard call for me, actually. But when this rolls around, I think the one that falls off for me will probably be HBO. The problem is, by then we're done.
Game of Thrones will be over.
We're done with Game of Thrones by then.
Westworld,
big. I get it, but maybe I subscribe during a season and then dump it. You know what I mean?
11 of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Is that happening? Are they making it?
They're talking. There's talk about it.
Are they going to wait another 7 years so that
it'll be pretty good?
So Larry's like 1,000 years old then. When he does it?
Right, exactly.
Anyway,
so one other thing to make note about this, or to take note in this announcement, is Disney will still keep their streaming service family friendly. So you're not going to see Star Wars or any show that they do go above that PG-13 level, and it might even be watered down a little bit more so it's firmly in the PG area.
I don't like that, because, well, I mean, they're already well into PG territory, inching into our territory with their Marvel stuff on Netflix.
But that's on Netflix, and that's why that stuff is staying over at Netflix and is not going to be part of this streaming service.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how I feel about that. Like that part, not that I want everything to be blood, guts, and boobs. I'm 100% cool with quality entertainment that can fit the whole family.
Well, remember the first Star Wars movie was PG, so that, you know, if we're keeping it in that area, then I think we should be fine.
Yeah, you can cut off a bloody arm and say, I don't like you either and all that.
Yeah.
You can
do that.
Right. Although still,
I'm wanted on 5 seasons.
I'm telling you right now, though, George never explained why a master sabersman like Obi-Wan Kenobi couldn't cauterize that dude's arm with his saber. It doesn't make any freaking sense to me. Because the rest of the show, or the rest of those movies, anytime anyone loses a limb, gets cut in half, it doesn't matter. Cauterize, no blood. Because it's a big old light sword.
Is there blood in Walrus Man's arm, really?
Yeah, there's blood all over the floor and that thing flops off. And it doesn't make any sense because the rest of the series, including episode four, any other takedowns or dismemberings with a lightsaber, it's all bloodless.
Well, yeah, but you got to consider, you know, Walrus Man has different skin. Maybe he had a lot of aspirin, so his blood was thinner that day.
Wait, wasn't with him.
Was it Walrus Man that lost the arm or the guy with the ugly eye?
No, it's the guy with the ugly nose.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. The guy who was talking with him, but not Pondababa, the...
Pondo Calrissian.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Lambo Vermillion.
Something, right?
Yeah, Lando Vermillion. That's it.
Yeah.
Write that down and keep it in mind next
Cornelius,
time.
Dr. Cornelius Evazan.
There it is. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Like you. He says, I've had too much aspirin and my blood is really thin and I can't use, my skin is too tough to cauterize, by the way.
Yeah. So now here's the problem. My theory when Brian and I first talked about this, Stephen, was that we could get a true, like, the hard streets of Coruscant kind of thing. But your talk of PG has me concerned.
You can still do stuff hard. I mean, look at, like I said,
hard
the first
PG.
Star Wars movies is pretty solid.
Well,
you could do that. You can't do Pulp Fiction. You're not going to get Star Wars Pulp Fiction.
Right. No.
Right.
But when, nor are you going to get Star Wars Swingers.
When the three of us were teenagers, we hard PG actually meant a little something, because you go see Airplane and you could see boobs in Airplane but still be PG.
Yeah.
You could see what was it? Revenge of the Titans, or what the hell was it called?
Revenge of the Nerds?
No, the Titans movie. That was R. But what was the Titans movie with the big with Harry Hamlin in it? Attack of the Titans? Shit. Whatever it is. We saw it for Film Sack. Harry Hamlin Titans. Hold on. Clash of the Titans. Jeez.
Oh, Clash of the Titans.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yes. Right.
Okay. Clash of the Titans. PG straight up. And plenty of boobs.
Yeah.
Had the lady with the naked bum and the boobies.
Yeah, but that was a different time back then.
Well, that's my point, is maybe Disney can bring it back.
Yes, let's leave it up to Disney, family-friendly Disney, to bring back the boobs.
ABC Friday Night took away the boobs. We're bringing them back.
I'm also I'm concerned about any streaming service that is just nothing but like the teen Disney stuff. Like I'm so not into those shows that they have, those live-action comedies they do. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah. By the way, just to clarify, and so we can stave off a few emails, Pondababa, Walrus Man, is the one who lost the arm.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Dr. Cornelius Evazan is a cosmetic surgery specialist who tried to reattach the arm in lore.
That wasn't really his name, was it? Is he a
doctor? Dr. Cornelius Evazan? Yeah, absolutely. Was.
What was he a doctor of? For real.
He apparently is a real... According to the Wikipedia, Star Wars Wiki, there really is a Dr. Evazan cosmetic surgery clinic in Ponzora, a small settlement located on Abafar, a remote desert world in the Sparazan sector of the Outer Rim territories.
Oh my
gosh. Is a cosmetic surgery specialist, and he tried to reattach Pondababa's arm.
You know what? He must have. They're in his world. Everyone looks like those people in that Twilight Zone episode, but they're all hideously ugly when they take the guy's
Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah, that's where he does his best work. All right.
I love it that he's a cosmetic surgeon.
That's so dumb.
Have you let that arm in a container fight? Like my walrus friend here?
Steven, always a pleasure talking about this stuff. Is there anything on the site you'd like people to be checking out?
Oh, man, for years I've been talking about One Deck Dungeon. Those of you who went to Nerdtacular last year probably played One Deck Dungeon. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Scott was interested in One Deck Dungeon.
I bought it based on your recommendation.
Yeah. It is now, it's in the early release, the beta release, on Steam, and it is super solid game. It's $15. I played it this past weekend during my game streams that I do on Saturdays on twitch.tv/majorspoilers. And it is a blast to play. It is super solid. They just released a new update that includes the second player ability. Great game, fun game.
So it's early access, but pretty polished so far. I mean, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels really solid. I haven't run into any major issues, and like I said, the most recent update they unlocked the 2-player mode, which is a lot of fun. So go check it out.
I am so excited about this. This is one of those games where my first playthrough went, this needs to be a video game.
Digital, mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Yeah, like. A lot
before
of,
too long, it'll be on iPad, and that's when I'm going to snatch it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time Brian sees one of these, he's like, oh, this will only...
It'll be on iPad before too long.
Yeah, at some point, iOS...
And I do believe that is their goal, is to get it onto the iOS and Android devices, but definitely worth checking out. I remember, Scott, you saying you liked it, so I wanted to mention that for you to go check out on
Steam. I'm getting it today. This is like an automatic buy. And plus, games, like even if I didn't know what this game was, it's still my favorite kind of thing. I love this kind of stuff. It's just... And for $15, I mean, come on. Let's give it to how do they say the name? Handelabra Games.
Handelabra.
Handelabra.
It's Asmati Games is the developer on it. I think Handelabra is the one that created the electronic version. They're also the ones that created the electronic version of Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Oh,
which is
good.
An awesome game to be playing on Steam as well.
Yeah, except the art I hate. I cannot stand the art in that game. I wish I liked it. It's just ugly.
You should pitch those guys to do all new art for them.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Dan the Tabletop Man, I believe, knows one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's all get hooked up. This is fantastic. It's majorspoilers.com for details. Boy, I'm glad you brought this up because now I'm screwed. I'm just going to have to play this. Is this on Mac and PC?
Mac and PC.
Because I love swapping back and forth. You know, that's a good time. Anyway, that sounded worse than a minute. Steven Schleicher at majorspoilers.com. He's also at majorspoilers on Twitter, and he's there every Monday. So come back and check him out every Monday that you watch the show live. Steven, have a fantastic week.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye now.
Very good.
Great segment. Always good to talk to Steven. No Daryl today because there ain't no Star Trek shit going on. Except you did have some breaking news that we should at least mention. Something about the Tarantino thing is at least rumored to be all underway or something.
Yeah, Carl Urban said, I don't know if this was on Twitter or in an interview or something, but he said that he believes that they are going to start filming for Star Trek 4, the Tarantino one, this year.
So he will be this will be the fourth of the movies, not this
will be the fourth it won't be a new thing, right? It's going to be like continuation of the Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and all those guys.
I'm in. I'm all in. I want to see what this is, even if it's shitty. I want to see it. I don't even care. So I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
I think it was Justin who was on here saying, like, why are we afraid of these weird things? Let's just see. Like, it's no skin off our nose. If it sucks, it sucks. Yeah, if it's great, it's great.
Guess what? They won't make another one if we don't like it.
Yeah. Call it Hateful 10. That's what you should call it. Because he's making his ninth movie right now, and that's almost done. And then Hateful 10 will be the next Star Trek movie. So it'll be Star Trek Hateful 10.
Hateful 10. Nice.
Let's
see. It'll be Cumberbatch, Chris Pine, George Takei all stuck in a cabin in the forest in the middle of winter, and they've got to suss things out.
What if they... what if this is... You know, he keeps saying he's going to retire almost after every movie he does. Mm-hmm. What if it actually ends up being Star Trek that he retires on? That would be weird, wouldn't it?
That would be weird, yeah.
Actually, I think this guarantees you'll get at least one more Tarantino movie after the 11th movie. I'll betcha. Because there's no way he ends on Star Trek. Not saying it would be bad, too. I just don't think he would.
For sure.
Yeah. There's still got to be... He'll do some mega opus thing that's got Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Signature.
Right.
No, he's got to end with a signature thing.
I agree. Jackie Brown 2, we called it. It's coming up. That's it for our guests and all that. A real quick note here, if you're still interested in the Overwatch Overpants tournament that we're doing for TMS listeners, and again, this is a reminder, it doesn't have to be listeners who are on your team. It can be anybody you want. We're still taking names on the forum, so just head on over to frogpants.com/TMS. There's a link right there, and you can sign up. And even if you don't have everybody locked in, that's okay too. We're just getting headcounts. If we have to combine some people, that's fine. It's very early goings for this, but stuff's happening, and I want to try to do it by summer is my goal. So we'll see how that's going. And also, I'll eat the nasty duck egg tomorrow, so tune in live for that.
Can't wait.
I'm not eating the whole thing. Can I say that now?
No, a bite is fine. A bite is totally fine.
Yeah, there's no way I eat that entire damn thing. So
you say, wow, this is surprisingly delicious. I can't get enough of it.
I can't wait for...
Where can I buy more?
Monday duck eggs. Mm-mm. Don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see.
No, I guarantee it's not.
Ooh, Kill Bill 3 could happen as their final. I could see that, says Free Rangers.
He's going to be Kill Bill 3?
Like, I don't know. He's saying maybe that's what
didn't
he
ends we finish on. It off pretty well with the bride and Bill?
Yeah, but then didn't Roseanne's husband die in Roseanne and how is he somehow back?
Okay. All right.
It's kind of the
Kill
same
Bill
thing.
Kill Bill again.
Kill Bill twice. Actually, that actor died because he hung himself with his wiener
that's
out.
That's right.
Right? Wasn't that the deal?
Carotene, yes.
It was one of those, what's that called? The wiener grabbing asphyxiation.
Sexual asphyxiation? Or no, autoerotic asphyxiation.
There it is, yeah. Well, I call it wiener out in the
Which
closet.
Which has nothing to do with cars, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah. It's closet wieners out. That's the short name for it. Good luck to him and his brother, who still does movies and stuff. He's great. I like that guy. Anyway, that's it. So check out all the things that you might need over at frogpants.com/TMS. Everything's linked there. Our Patreon, our Twitter accounts, our email, our stuff. So go do that. Also a quick note to Josh, who sent me a thing on Twitter saying, hey, we should spruce up the Reddit page with some art and stuff. Yes.
Your Reddit page too. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll get that going there, Josh. We'll talk to you. And may you all up in it. He's into it now, so he's totally into it for whatever reason. I'm happy to see it. That's awesome. That's gonna do it. Let's get out of here. Brian, you have anything else? You good?
I'm good. This should wrap me up pretty well. This song that I'm about to play here for you.
Oh, good.
Tom writes in from Southern California, says, hey guys, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys both in Vegas. The 12th of March is my birthday, and I'm a big baseball fan, so why not a song by everyone's favorite German rockabilly band, The Baseballs? You guys are awesome. See you next month. Signed, Tom. Well, sure thing, Tom. Can't wait to see you next month.
Hold on. Fun. Is this Tom Merritt?
Not Tom Merritt, no.
He's in Southern California. He loves baseball. Yeah. Are we sure?
Yeah.
We're sure.
I'm positive. I met this guy in Anaheim after medieval times. We went to a place across the street owned by Kiss called Rockin' Brews.
Owned by Kiss?
Owned by Kiss.
That's badass, dude. That's so
You'd
cool. You
think it'd be like all filled with Kiss stuff. There's only a handful of Kiss things in there, and it's a lot of other. It is a rock and roll bar, though.
Wow.
Like, tapestries, and their TVs only play rock videos and stuff like that. Anyway, on their album Strike, which came out in 2009, The Baseballs included this cover of Rihanna's classic Umbrella. Umbrella. Here are The Baseballs.
Here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Heart, and we'll never be a world apart. Or maybe in magazines, but you'll still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need me there. With you, I always share. Because when the sun shines, we'll shine together. I told you I'll be here forever. That I'll always be your friend. Could know that we'll stick it out till the end. Now I'm waiting.
When the war has took its part, when the world has dealt its cards, if the hand is hard, together we'll mend your heart.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Lots of lather.